This is chapter number 21. We've been in Burnsville, North Carolina for about 6 years and pastoring the Pleasant Valley Baptist Church there. Appreciate the Lord working that, just in His providence to place us there. But it's good to see Flatland again. I was telling Brother Austin, I was letting him see that Tennessee sunset when it sets orange over the Flatland. Over where we're at, you get to see the sun about 4 hours from 10 to 2. Unless you're up on top of a mountain. So where we're at, we're real spiritual. You're either in a mountain or you're in the valley. And there ain't no in between. But I appreciate you being here. Brother Barry invited us a while back, and he told me today that he wouldn't be here. So he's either got confidence in us or he's got confidence in you. And I know that he'll be pleased. You know, usually when the under-shepherd's not here or in the service, it's usually tense. It's different. But I don't sense that tonight, and he'll be pleased that we've just met to worship. It's not about me or you or anything else. It's just about him. We've sung about him. We've prayed to him. And if we can hear from him this evening, I know that he has help for us. When the preacher asked us to come, God placed this passage on her heart. I didn't know that he wouldn't be here, and I didn't know you would be here. But I'm glad God did. He's that big. If you'll stand with us in Genesis chapter number 21, very familiar passage of Scripture. Genesis chapter 21, we'll begin reading in verse number 9. The Bible said, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it upon her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she said over against him and lift up her voice and wept." Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd open your word. I pray that you'd speak to the heart of the people of God. Lord, if there's one here tonight that doesn't know you, God, I pray that you'd speak, Lord, as only you can. Stir the waters of their soul. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd touch the man of God and his family, his wife, while they're resting. Give them time of refreshment. But Lord, we want to meet with you for just a few minutes here tonight. Hear from you. See what you have for us. And I pray that you'd open your word and speak and do, Lord, the things that only you can for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we'll thank you the best that we know how for all that you'll do ahead of time. In your name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. We've got the story here, of course, of Abraham. You know, in the beginning of the first part where Isaac is born, God had promised Sarah a child, and Sarah and Abraham had mocked and made light because they were up in age. And then we know how Sarah tried to get in to the will of God, and she put Hagar in there with Abraham, and then Hagar bears that son Ishmael. And I know that you're aware of who Ishmael is, not just then, but today in the Middle East, where you've got Israel, where you've got the Palestinian nations, and where you've got the seed of Isaac, and you've got the seed of Ishmael. We're not going to look at that as much tonight. I want to look at this lady in the context, and I want to watch how the Lord helps her. And if the Lord could help a little Egyptian girl that's her world's turned upside down, she doesn't understand what's going on. She doesn't understand why this has happened or that has happened. And really, when you look at the story of Hagar, all she ever did was what she was told to do, what the Lord told her to do. But yet it seemed like life didn't turn out like she thought it would. And I'm glad that God has help for Hagar as she's going to battle bitterness. And you know, we all battle that at times, if we'll be honest. There's times that we don't know why God does what he does, why he allows what he allows. But I'm glad we got a big big God, and I'm glad that He knows what we need. He sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time, and I'm glad that there's help to be found. In those first 8 verses, we call that the birth. It was a miracle, the birth of Isaac, the promised seed. And I'm glad where the Lord said in verse number 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. And I'm glad when God gives us a word, He's going to perform that word. And when God speaks in the night, He'll open that up in the day. And I'm glad He'll never turn back. He'll never forsake. And when God gives you a word, you can take that to the bank. He's going to do what He said He would do. And He promised them there would be a child. And the Bible said there in verse 1, as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. And even though she didn't believe it and didn't understand it, God performed a miracle with her. Then in verse 9 down through verse number 16, I call that a bad mistake, where Ishmael sees Isaac and they're honoring Isaac. They're having a birthday party, if you will, a birthing party for Isaac, and Ishmael mocks him. And because of that, Sarah sees it, and then Sarah wants Hagar and Ishmael cast out of the camp, wants them put away, and that was just a bad mistake of Ishmael. But God knew that He would separate these two boys. God knew that they would be nations. Nothing's ever took God off guard. I understand that's how we rest. You know, there's a doctrine going around that we're just puppets on a string and we don't have a will or a choice in the matter. You can go back to Adam and Eve and ask them if man has a choice. We've got a choice in the matter. But I'm going to tell you, as you live for the Lord, as you get older in life, the way that we pillow our head at night is knowing that God is aware. He's God of yesterday, God of today, God of tomorrow. He sees behind us. He sees tonight. He sees what tomorrow and next week will hold. But I'm glad that He's concerned about this little Egyptian girl. He cares for her. He's concerned about her. And He's got some help for Hagar. And if a little Egyptian girl can get help from God Almighty, don't you think God can help you and me here tonight? We just preached last night or Wednesday night at the church going through the book of Romans, and we found out as children of God how that we have a hope. And I was telling them, I was preaching right up in Virginia near Ewing up there. I met a man tonight up from around Castlewood, from where Brother Leonard Ferguson was. And there was a lady standing at the door that night, and one of the ladies from Calvary there at the church, she was coming out, a dear old saint of God, a mountain woman. And she said, "Preacher, you hope me tonight." I thought, well, she meant to say help, and she just didn't know no better. But as you get older in life and as you listen to the Word of God, there ain't just help from God, but there's hope. There's hope for today. There's hope for that wayward child. There's hope for that marriage that's fallen apart. There's hope for that sinner out there, and it looks like they're going farther and farther and farther. And if God has help for a little Egyptian girl, how much more does He have for you and I tonight? Notice what happens. It's just an introduction. In verse 14, Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water. He gave them direction for the way. The Bible said He gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And we're not going to get into all the typology and all of that, but Abraham loved Ishmael. That was his boy. That was part of him. And he didn't understand what God was doing either. Him and Sarah took matters into their own hand. The previous chapter, he was honoring God. This chapter, he's listening to Sarah. It doesn't matter who you are, how young you are, or how old you are. God does things that we just don't understand. And usually when God is really working, it don't make sense to us. That's where we learn to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so he takes that bread and he takes that bottle of water. He puts it on her shoulder with the child and he sends her away. And she wanders and she ends up in that wilderness of Beersheba. There's direction for the way. But when they get there in verse 15, the Bible said, "And the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. When they get there, the water, I see her. I've read about this place where they're at. I've read about the desert. I've read about the humidity. I've read about how that it draws the water out of the body. And they've depleted their water. Their bodies are dehydrating. And as any mama, she's given that little boy the last drink, wanting to take care of him. But the situation got so big that she put the child under one of the shrubs. She's trying to break the heat from his brow. His body's starting to contort and twist. He's dehydrating. That's what's happening. And she can't handle it. She can't take it. And you think about Hagar, if you know this story. God told her to submit to Sarah, and she did. Sarah told her to go in unto Abraham. All this girl's done is be obedient to the Lord. And it seems like it, every time that God tells her to do something, it gets worse and it gets worse. It seems like it's not paying to serve God. It seems like trying to be faithful is not panning out, and it's not paying off. Now her boy's dying. They're dehydrated. There's no more water. And she puts him under one of the shrubs to break the heat off of his body. Verse 16, and she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she said over against him and lift up her voice and wept. There you've got the weeping mother. My, how I've seen them down through the years. I watched my own mother weep when I was lost without God. I don't know, coming back down through these valleys, this reminds me, I've not always been saved. I didn't get saved, I was 28 years old. I met a lady here tonight, introduced herself. She said she prayed for me before I got saved. I've met people ever since I've been saved that's told me they prayed for me before I got saved. My brother would say, hey, pray for Jimbo. He's going further and he's going further and further. But I'm glad I couldn't get away from God. I could get out of the reach of my brother, but I couldn't get out of that umbrella of the prayers of the people of God. And on Kingston Pike that Friday night, when the Holy Ghost hemmed me up, and every prayer that had ever been prayed filled up that pickup truck. God came to where I was, did what we just sung, put me into the family of God, turned that light of the gospel on. He was long-suffering. I should have been in hell a long time ago. I should have been shot. I should have overdosed. I should have been in the penitentiary. But God, in his long-suffering and his grace and his mercy, came to where we were. And if he'll do that for us, how much more does he want to do it for those that are lost tonight? Here's a weeping mother. These tears are going to do something. Don't ever think tears are in vain. Because this weeping mama, something's getting ready to happen. Notice where we left off reading. Look in verse 17. I call verse 17 the inclination of the sovereign. And that's just two big words. I had to learn what they mean. But that word inclination, it means he inclined. When she started crying, it caught the ear of God. And as she's crying and weeping and she don't understand, and her boy is dehydrating, and they're both, it looks like death is imminent. It looks like they're not getting out of this. It looks like it's it. Do you not remember the last time you thought this was it? Do you not remember the last storm you thought, I'll never get through it? It's been a good journey and we've been blessed, but surely this is it. Hey, just remember the last time you thought it was the last time and God came through. That lets us have hope that this time he will come through. He will stay true to his word. He will do what he's promised to his children. Notice in verse 17. Now here she was in verse 16. She's weeping. She don't want to see the death of her child. In verse 17, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Now, we've watched mama weep, but the boy's been silent.
We don't know what it was that he said, but the Bible said that God heard the voice of the lad. That weeping mama has drawn the attention of God Almighty. And God sees, I know it's Ishmael. I know what Ishmael's going to turn out to be, a wild man, to raise up a wild seed that's over there acting wild tonight in the Middle East. But the tears of a broken-hearted mama, the tears looking like it's the end, not understanding, not able to explain how life has turned out like it is. The tears of a mother has drawn the attention of a sovereign God. The Bible said, and God heard the voice of the lad. There's the cry that he heard. The thing about it, when the Lord starts talking, the Bible said the angel of the Lord, of God called to Hagar out of heaven. Isn't it amazing that God knew who she was? Isn't it amazing that times we don't think God knows where we're at? We think that God isn't concerned so much about us. There again, we learned that in Romans about suffering. When you start to put your sufferings against someone else's, maybe somebody else has got cancer and you've got something in your life and it doesn't seem to be as big as someone else. He's concerned about individual suffering. He's concerned about your suffering. It's not that we're comparing to everybody else. God cares about you. God's concerned about you. And God heard the voice of the lad where he was. He starts calling to Hagar, a little Egyptian girl. Notice what he said. The Bible said, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? What aileth thee? You know this. Brother Barry's taught y'all that. You preachers know this. Every time God asks a question, it's not because he don't know the answer. He asks those questions because he wants us to be honest. And he asked her a question that might be good to ask tonight. What aileth thee? What is it that you come in tonight? And I'm not talking about ailments and ingrown toenails and things like that. What is it that shook your world upside down? What is it that's got the darkness draped over the light? What is it that's got you to where you don't know if you can see tomorrow? He said, what aileth thee, Hagar? He didn't let her respond, I don't think. Because he said the next two words that only God Almighty can say. He said, fear not. Boy, when I was studying this the first time, Brother Henry, I come across a word I didn't know what it meant. But them educated men say that this right here is called a Christophanes. Is that right? Am I pronouncing it right? You know what a Christophanes is? I didn't either. A Christophanes is an appearance of the Lord in the Old Testament. You say, I don't know if that happened. Sure you do. You remember them little Hebrew boys that was in the fiery furnace and Neb looked in there? I can't say Nebuchadnezzar without getting tongue-tied. But old Neb looked in there and he said, I see three that we put in there. But he said, there's a fourth man in there. And who was that? He said, he's like unto the Son of God. How did he know who the Son of God was? He sure had never met him up to that point. I'm telling you, every now and then God will show up in the Old Testament. And if he'll show up in the pages of the Old Testament to old Neb and to this little Egyptian girl, how much more? Or is he concerned about his children that he birthed into the family of God, that he came to where we were when we could not go to him? He said, what aileth thee, Hagar? And before she could answer, I think he addressed the problem. He said, fear not. I started underscoring that in my Bible years ago, especially when you get in the four Gospels. You hear Jesus often say, fear not. See, we don't want to let anybody know we're scared. Baptists are probably the ones that made that sticker that's on every redneck's truck where it says, ain't scared, but didn't spell it right either. And we don't want anybody to know we're afraid. And we want to act like we're mountain people and country people and we're macho people. But I'm going to tell you, God Almighty knows. And he addresses it before she can ever respond. He said, fear not, Hagar. Amen. What is it you're afraid of tonight? I was reading in Job this week. Job said in Job chapter 3, and the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. I feared my children messing up. Brother Jeff, my children, they like yours, they ain't little no more. I remember when yours used to stair step in. Zeke's 21. Bubba's getting ready to turn 20. Esther just turned 15 yesterday.
And I can see, it isn't that they're bad children. It's I can see their daddy in them. I can see that look in my oldest son's eye. And it's just like looking into a mirror of where I was. And I'm going to tell you something, it's taught me how to pray. And it's not in the words, and it's not in quoting verses, but it's just like Romans 8 said, groanings that I don't even know how to say when I don't even know how to put it into words. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. I'm glad that He knows. What is it that's ailing you tonight? What is it that you're afraid of? I'm glad it gets the attention of a sovereign God. Listen to what He said in the latter part. He said, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." Amen. You know how the Lord comforted Hagar? He comforted her with His word. See, we got people in 2017, they're wanting chill bumps and they're wanting lightning bolts and they want to see these lights swing and it must be a visitation, a manifestation of God. You know how God speaks to His children? Just like He did this little Egyptian girl. He gives His word. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path." We're begotten by the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He gave her His word when He spoke to her. She's in a barren place. It's dry. She's you know she's got to be battling bitterness. She's in a place of doubt. If I hadn't done what they said to do, I wouldn't be where I'm at now. If I hadn't done what Sarah said, my boy wouldn't be over there against that shrub dying. I learned this in East Tennessee, and I'm trying to enlighten them in the mountains. I learned it when I first started preaching, when I'd talk about doubting God, and people go, their eyes would get real big. Like we don't doubt God. What we are, we're not being honest. Because we every one of us in here that can understand what this Bible's saying, we've all often wondered, why did God? And it's like we're looking at these three boys, these sons of Korah in the book of Psalms. They're just little boys and they don't understand why their daddy did what he did. They don't understand why he stood against Moses and Aaron and God. And what they don't understand is not that God arranged it and not that God allowed it, but that God would not stop it. Amen. And I wonder what every one of us are thinking about tonight. Amen. That we know God arranges and we know God allows. But why didn't He stop it? Talking to Brother Austin on the way up here, my poor old sister, she still struggles about Buster. She said, "Jimbo, why didn't God stop it? Why didn't God stop it?" Man has a choice. We'll learn that in this life or the life to come. Man has a choice in life. God give Hagar a word. God told her not to fear. God comforted her through the spoken word. Notice what He did in verse number 18. I call this the instruction. Now listen, He said, "Arise." And boy, right there in my old Bible, I wrote right there when He said, "Arise," I can see Hagar. She's a young Egyptian girl. I can see her with one of them 2017 attitudes. You know how them girls, they make their head like it's on a swivel. And I can see God say, "Arise," and I can see her swiveling that head and that finger going up. And she's saying, "Wait a minute. I've done what You've told me to do. You told me to get up and go. You told me to go back and submit myself. You told me to be obedient to Sarah. And now God said, 'Arise.'" I wonder if we've always responded when God spoke to us. See, the instruction, it's a personal word. It's a personal word when He said, "Arise." We hear that in salvation. It's what it's been testified to tonight. It's a personal word. It's a personal word in suffering. "Arise, Hagar, you're going to have to get up." He's not going to make her get up. But she's got the choice. But let me say this, Mama, if she don't get up, Ishmael's not going to make it. And let me just pour my heart to you this evening. You may, and I guess I don't know any of y'all. I thought Brother Barry's wife was still here, but now I remember you. You may have every right to be bitter. I have met people that have every right to be bitter. They've lost their job. They've lost their health. They've lost children. I mean, things that people have turned on them, just like we sung about friends. And if we were going to sit down and lay it all out, we'd just have to pretty much vote. They got a right to be bitter.
Hagar has every right in that Bible to be bitter. But if she don't get up, that boy's going to die. You might have every right in the world. You may have convinced yourself. Everybody might agree with you. Those at the supermarket may agree. The guys down at the gun store may agree. But let's just understand about Hagar. If she don't get up, Ishmael's going to die. You say, preacher, I don't want that responsibility. Well, welcome to the real world. If she don't get up, that boy is not going to make it. There's a positional work. Its obedience is required. There's a providential way. Hey, God's going to make something out of all this mess. Isn't it something how we mess everything up? I mean, we sin and come short of the glory of God. But how God can take bad situations and providentially work in them and work through them and bring something good out of it. That's what Joseph told his brothers. He said, y'all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's just how God is. That's just how He is. Sometimes the only thing that holds me together is that word that comes from the other world. Arise. I probably hadn't seen y'all since Buster left this world. I shook. I didn't know what I was going to tell people. Just like this dear lady, he loved people. He preached that. That's the only hobby he had. He couldn't fish. He couldn't work on nothing. He didn't know what a 9/16 was from a half inch. He didn't know. All he did, he studied that. That was his hobby. And his desire was to help people. And when he did what he did, I thought, how in the world am I going to tell people up and down the road? I remember getting on that airplane. My wife and I were in Pensacola, Florida when all of that happened. I got on that airplane and they made me put my Bible. That was when 9/11 and all that went on. We had to go through that screening and they just threw everything in the truck, put us on that plane and I didn't have my Bible. And I haven't committed the Word of God like I ought to. That there was two parts of two verses that got on that airplane with me. And I remember what God told Paul when he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then I remembered a half a verse out of the Old Testament where the Bible said, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And sometimes the only thing that holds me together, I had a preacher this year pretty much sat down in my lap while he was preaching and said, there's no way my brother could be in heaven by the way he left this world. I said, well, you know, I was talking to some preachers after. They said, he aimed that at you, didn't he? I said, hey, you know, somebody's got to take it. I said, he must not believe in eternal security much. He must not believe in the ability of God Almighty very much. And the thing that I've learned is you better be careful about pointing these fingers because you've got them pointing back and you don't know what a day may bring forth. I'm just telling you, if we could get a word from God on a Friday night before you go eat your Thanksgiving dinner, it might be what helps you tomorrow, what hopes you next week when it seems like there is no hope. He said, arise, Hagar, arise and get up. Because if you don't, this boy is not going to make it. He said in verse 18, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand. That's only the work of a mama right there. My boys would get hurt. They'd run right by me. They'd run right by me and jump up in the bleachers, and big old boys, Bubba's bigger than me, Zeke's harder than this stone right here, that old head of his. He's a full-blooded Satan. They'd run right by me and they want to jump in the lap of their mama. He said, Hagar, arise. He said, take up the lad. He said, hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. If mama don't get up, Ishmael's not going to make it. I wonder who would miss God, miss heaven, if you quit. If you stay in your bitterness, you've got every right. And we could sit and talk about it the rest of the night. You've got right. You've been done wrong. They did lie. You were in the good. It was not true. But if you stay in it, it may cost children, grandchildren. I was thinking, Brother Helton, when you let me come up and preach for you, I was crushed. That was after I left the other part of North Carolina over there. I was wondering if I was even called to preach. I thought, well, you know, every ministry's got to start and every ministry's got to end. This must be the end. I'm going to tell you, every now and then, if you can get a word, just a word from God. There's no telling what God can do with just a word. Let's finish. There's one more verse right there, verse number 19. Hey, verse 18, arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. Verse 9, I love verse 19. You could preach it all in itself. And God, big G, God, this is a little Egyptian girl. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. I call this the illumination, when God opened her eyes. The brother was testifying about being lost, and God shining that light. Do you remember when God illuminated you? When God showed you was in your darkness? When God showed you was headed for hell? When God showed you that everything you was doing was wrong and He was right? And when God opened that door and allowed you in, suckered you in, drawed you in, wooed you in. The illumination was God opened her eyes. I had a man take me to task. He said, you think Hagar's in heaven? I said, you think she's in hell? God opened her eyes. God spoke to her. God knew her by name. God knew where she is at. It's like that little old boy. They asked him, they said, do you believe Daniel or whoever it was is going to be in heaven? That guy was arguing, he is an atheist. And he said, what are you going to do if he ain't in heaven? That little boy said, well, you can ask him where you're going. It would not surprise me to see Sister Hagar testifying about a day when she was bitter that she didn't understand. When she came to the end of herself, she heard a word that said arise, and then God opened. It almost sounds like a plan of salvation. God, she heard a word said get up, and she had the choice of doing it or not. And when she responded to that word, God opened her eyes. He opened her eyes. I call that the wonder of wonders. I've never got over that Friday night. It'll be almost, it's almost a month from tonight in December 1991 when God opened my eyes. Turned that light of the gospel. See, He's got the authority to do it. The Bible said, and God, not Abraham, not Sarah, and God. Not only does He have the authority, but He's got the ability. He opened her eyes. And I'm glad that He's still able to do it tonight. I'm glad He's able to save the sinner, but I'm glad for those of us that have sat in places we don't understand and we can't see why God's doing what He's doing. He still has the ability to open our eyes. He's the wonder of wonders. But look in the next part. Notice what He did when He opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Now, we're not going to take time. You can read it sometime. You can go back in chapter 16. When Sarah said, you go in to Abraham, I can't have children, you go in, she went in, she conceived. And when Sarah saw that she was with child, Sarah got mad, Sarah put her out, and Hagar took off. And you remember where Hagar ended up? She ended up by a spring where there was a well. One man said, I was reading after this phrase right here in verse 19, and God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. He said that God did a miracle and made that well appear. And God could do it. But we got too many people today looking for miracles. I just choose to believe because she put that boy under a shrub that that well was there all the time. But see, her situation was so big, it blocked her vision from seeing exactly what she needed was right where she needed it to be. Isn't it amazing how situations, and we look at people, we're quick to look down on them and we say, why is it they can't get right? Why is it they can't get help? Why can't they get victory? It's because their situation has blocked their vision, and they can't see that what they need is right there. It's right before them. But I'm glad when God opens your eyes, what she might have been getting ready to step in, she's going to be able to fill up that bottle. She's going to be able to take that little baby boy that's about to die, and she's going to start giving him a sip and a sip and a sip till he raises up. I'm glad that what she needed was exactly where it needed to be. Where it needed to be. There's a well of water. Notice in the latter part of verse 19, we're done. She went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. She's thirsty too. First thing she does is she fills up that bottle and she gives that boy a drink. She went. I mean, just these little words have helped me. I wished I'd listened more in school. I just went to school to get out of school. Got kicked out of one school to be put in a Christian school because there was only one left in Knoxville that would take me. But she went. You know what them two words tells me? It tells me she arose. Because you can't went till you get up. That ain't right English. But you can't go till you get up. So when she went, that tells me she got up. You know what might help you this weekend is if you get up one more time and you go to church one more time and you go to Sunday school one more time and you sing in the choir one more time and you pray for your preacher and you pray for the service one more time. Get up, you say, I've got up and I've went and I've went and I've went. The next time, it might be the time when God opens your eyes and does what needs to be done. She went and she filled. Notice what, is that not what your King James Bible said? And filled the bottle. I got one right here, amen. I won't drink it though, because every time I look at one of these, I hear an old white-headed preacher in Mississippi. He said, water on the pulpits for dry preachers. I said, I don't care if I swallow 50 gnats, I'm not drinking that much. There's that much Adamic nature in me. But you see this bottle right here, if it's full. If I was to that's Friday night language. If I was to take the top off of that, it's full to the brim. How long has it been since you've been filled? I heard an old-time preacher this morning over in Canton, North Carolina. We're trying to keep a preacher's fellowship started over there. I was telling him, Brother Henry, about Brother Langston and how we'd have 30 and 40 and have meetings and they'd come from it. And we're trying to start one for them young preachers. It's just hard to get Baptists together. As an old-time preacher, it didn't bother me one bit because y'all preached it to me when I started. He preached on being filled with the Holy Ghost. And some of them schoolboys sat back like they did, had no idea, because they didn't have a book on that evidently at their school. And they've not learned that in the Greek yet, but you know what filled means? It means full, it means overflowing, it means filled to the brim. It's not speaking in tongues, and it's not dancing around like you own some kind of high-powered drug. It's being able to be filled to where what you got will ooze out, and it'll help somebody else that's around you. She didn't just get a sip or halfway fill it. She filled the bottle with water. And the Bible said she gave the lad drink. Ishmael would have never survived if Hagar hadn't went to the well. Trying to explain the ministry to Brother Austin. He's a fine young preacher. He's going to a good Bible college down in Marion. But I've been trying to explain to him what the ministry is. It is about education. You ought to know what you're preaching. We're to rightly divide the word. I've tried to tell him what the ministry is. It's right here. It's these young men. It's these young ladies. It's these young families. It's these white-haired saints. The ministry, and see, it's took me 54 years. That's why Brother Ed Blue, that's why Brother Langston, that's why Brother Billy Kelly, that's why Brother Mays Jackson, that's why Buster, that's why they were so effective with people, because they loved people. I told him what my daddy used to say. My daddy would say, if people know you love them, they'll let you preach to them. Amen. I've just come by to give you a drink. I've just come by tonight to open up an Old Testament scripture. You might be battling bitterness. You may never tell anyone about it, but God already knows. You may feel like you're rightly and justly in the place where you can be bitter. But who's depending on you to get up? I was reading about bitterness today. It said bitterness is like a disease. You know, bitterness can lay dormant like cancer. Bitterness has got to be diagnosed just like a disease. And then it's got to be dealt with after it's diagnosed. But I added this one. I'm glad there's a doctor that makes house calls. Have you got an Ishmael tonight? Have you got a situation you're wondering, does God even know where you're at?
Maybe you feel like Hagar tonight. You've tried to do right. You've tried to do what the preacher says. You've tried to be obedient. You've tried to tithe. You've tried to be faithful. You've tried, and it just seems like life hadn't turned out like you thought it would. I'm going to tell you, we got a big God. He's able to take every situation and work it for its good. We've not got there yet, but there is a verse 28 in Romans 8. And we know how he, and it's all about suffering, how that he works those things together. And most of us are old enough now, we can look back and see. Even in my brother's passing, I can relate now to what David said. David said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Had God not allowed situations, known situations, not stopped situations, you probably wouldn't be here tonight. You probably wouldn't have the relationship you have with God tonight. Because if it was always sunny, you'd never appreciate a good shower. That's just how big our God is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for your attention. Before we turn the service over, maybe you'd like to find you a place in the altar, whatever your need is. I'm not going to stand up here and specify 14 things and try to play on your emotions. You might have an Ishmael out there tonight, and it looks like death is the next thing to happen. It may look like it's too far gone. I met a man this week, and he said your brother would pray for you. He'd say, don't quit praying for Jimbo. He said, it looks like God might be working on him. And the way it looked like it, because I was going further and further and further and further. That old prodigal had to come to himself, but I'm glad he did. Wherever the scripture finds you tonight, I'm glad there's help to be had. Wouldn't it be good to fill your bottle up tonight? Maybe this world's emptied you. Maybe situations have drained you. They've took your joy. You're here on a Friday night. I mean, that's above and beyond. But we know, if we'd be honest, how it is to be empty. Old Brother Tim Ramey, he said, fill us up, Lord, because we can't pour out what we don't have in us. While she plays, the altar's open. If you have need to come, would you come? There's help to be had. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved. God stirred the water of your soul. This might be the night that God's opened your eyes, let you see your condition. As far as I can see, everyone here tonight looks saved. But I'm glad God looks on the heart. He's a discerner of the heart. Whatever your need is, I'm glad there's help to be had.